XRT.
Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield. Made by you.
If you like rock in all its forms, you will love Glory Days. You can listen to us locally on 93.2 FM and on the telly, and anywhere in the world on sheffieldlive.org. What do you think, Don? You know what? I think he likes it. That's Glory Days, every Monday 1 till 3 here on Sheffield Live. Bosh, bosh. Oops, I've had an accident.
Hello, I'm Harry Wilburn. I present Steel & Wire every Wednesday, 10 a.m. Americana, bluegrass, American roots, and more. Lots more. Lots of guests, lots of local music and musicians. That's Steel & Wire, Wednesday, 10 a.m.
You're listening to fabulous Harry Wilburn on Steel & Wire.
It's time to open the music box. Join me, Steve Roden, every Thursday morning between 10 and 12 for music from the 40s to the 90s from my own music collection. Songs I've grown up with, ones I am sure you will enjoy hearing again. Hope to see you then.
If you love new music and you want to discover the best new artists out there, then tune into The Backroom with me, Paddy. I'll be playing the best of new indie, electro, EDM and punk and showcasing new Sheffield talent. Also music news, local and national gig guide and new album releases. So tune into The Backroom every Thursday night between 6 and 7 p.m. here on Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM.
This is Sheffield Live.
N-E-X.
For a dream in motion, she turned her tender eyes to me. Steamers in the ocean, sweeter than any harmony. But she blinded me with silence.
She blinded me with silence.
Good morning. Morning. Welcome to the Life Science Radio Show here on Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM on digital if you're in South Yorkshire, or sheffieldlive.org, talking about science in all its different forms every Saturday morning, 11 until 12. You've got Julian Pauly alive.
Yes.
Later in the show, we'll be talking to RPG. We think he's talking about electric cars. Who knows? This week, and indeed every second Saturday of the month, I guess speaker is Dr. Ogo Osmo. He'll be talking about African self-powered car, Microsonic Energy. Ooh, all very exciting. And just a reminder that also that the Sheffield Photographic Society annual exhibition is at Sheffield Cathedral. It starts on Friday the 28th of March, so it's not that long away. Put it in your diary, and it runs until Sunday the 6th of April. Next week, and indeed every third Saturday of the month, our guest speaker will be Gareth Morgan, who's a member of, and also it's president of, the Sheffield Photographic Society. And I believe, as always, he'll have some of his own photography in that exhibition. It's a fantastic exhibition, well worth going to see. And Sheffield Cathedral is a fantastic venue anyway, and it's got a nice cafe too. Next up, a little story about wool, which I thought was rather interesting. Paul, you're doing this.
Yes, where's my piece of paper?
Well, I don't know. He's lost it.
I lost it completely. It's here. Once upon a time, before we willfully bred it out of them, sheep existed in a variety of natural colours, from the cream colour we know so well through to various shades of beige, brown and black. But mankind wanted more white wool so we could dye it pretty colours. Not surprisingly, black sheep became decidedly unpopular. Fortunately, nature doesn't give up that easily. The genetic memory of this dark wool lingers in every flock, which is why every so often a white sheep will produce a black lamb. There you go.
Well, there you go. I thought it was a fantastic story. And, of course, it is Saturday the 8th of March, and that can mean only one thing. It's International Women's Day. So very quickly, I just would say that history has been generally unkind to innovative women, despite the fact that the first patent awarded to a woman in Britain was issued back in 1637. But back then, most inventions created by women were accredited to their husbands, who until the 19th century automatically gained ownership of their wife's property, both material and intellectual, upon marriage. How things have changed for us young women growing up now. I'll just mention one before I move on to a brilliant story about wine. So anyway, Ada Lovelace, she was born in 1815, died in 1852. So Augusta Ada Byron, Countess of Lovelace and daughter of Lord Byron, was a keen mathematician and scientist. Her mother, Anne Isabella Milbank, had acquired the nickname Princess of Parallelograms due to her passion for mathematics. And she ensured that Ada, unusually for a woman of her time, was well-versed in the complex science that was then fueling the technological breakthroughs of the Industrial Revolution. Later, Ada Lovelace worked with Charles Babbage, and it was for his analytical engine that she produced the theories of indexing and looping that formed the basis of all modern computers. So think on that, Ada Lovelace, eh? So next up, I saw this story. I thought it's interesting on lots of counts in terms of science. So for the latest in wine, just past the salt. And this article says, salty wine may not sound appetizing, but it is fast becoming the latest trend as diners demand savory drinks with their meals. Sommeliers report more customers asking for saline character in their wine as word spreads about how it can enhance the flavour of food. If you are new to this trend, don't worry. Salty just means the wine has a mineral flavour from where the grapes were grown. They are usually white wines, lighter in body and higher in acidity. Now, Stefan Liparowski, who's head sommelier at Orfeim, which is the 2-Michelin-starred Indian restaurant in Birmingham, said saline wines have become a great asset. We've seen a love of salty wine developing for many years. Now, salinity is common in coastal grown wines as salts in the soil and air are absorbed through the vine's roots, leaves and fruit. So Anna Webster of the Wine Company website said, limestone, granite or chalk soils were richer in calcium, sodium and potassium that make up salt, which might be why wines from inland regions like Chablis and Sauvignon are often described as saline. Salts are concentrated in grape skins, so when they're crushed, it will result in a saltier wine. Now, Vanessa Stoltz, who's a sommelier at Pine in Newcastle, said price was also a factor. Her customers often choose Galicia from Spain, Vino Verde from Portugal and Picpoul de Pinay from the Languedoc in France. They are planted in coastal regions, she added, and incidentally, all are very affordable and delicious. Now, an American vineyard, Ovum in Oregon, has ditched all subtlety to describe its Riesling, Gewürztraminer and early Muscat blend as big salts. A day at the beach in a bottle. But not all wine lovers support the movement. The director at Berry Brothers and Rudd said it was just a trendy way to describe a character that some wines have always had, which is saline. I thought that was fantastic.
Afloat, I heard the captain cry, explore the ship, replace the cook, let no one leave. To man.
ships come home to die. No lofty peak, no fortress bold could match our captain's eye.
That was A Salty Dog by Procol Harum from way back in 1969, and it's all about wine just past the salt, because saline wines are all back in fashion, apparently. You're, of course, listening to Life Science Radio Show here on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. This week's environment update next. Paul's first.
Yes, I didn't know this as well. Methane hydrate is a very peculiar material. Ice that can be set alight. Ice that can be set alight. This so-called fire ice exists in huge quantities below the seabed, and scientists have recently discovered that below Antarctica it is emitting plumes of methane, a greenhouse gas 30 times more potent than carbon dioxide.
Oh, very interesting. And exactly what will net zero mean for everyday life in Britain in 15 years' time? Well, according to the Climate Change Committee, we will cycle and walk more, eat more plant burgers, enjoy lower bills and drive cleaner cars. The government advisers outlined a plan last week for how emissions could be cut by 87% by 2040 as a stepping stone to net zero by 2050.
Meanwhile, Europe's biggest battery storage project has entered operation in Scotland, promising to soak up surplus wind power and prevent turbines being paid to switch off. Zenobē said the first phase of its project at Blackhillock between Inverness and Aberdeen was now live with capacity to store enough power to supply 200 megawatts of electricity for 2 hours. It is due to be expanded to 300 megawatts by next year, enough to supply 3.1 million homes, more than every household in Scotland.
All interesting stuff, eh? Bad news now. Raw sewage was released into Windermere for most of last year. Data obtained under Freedom of Information laws has revealed this information. So the water company United Utilities, which serves the Lake District and the North West, released untreated sewage into England's largest lake for more than 6,000 hours last year, equivalent to an average of 17 hours a day. Yikes.
Elsewhere in the news, beavers will soon be reintroduced to the wild in England after being eradicated 5 centuries ago, with the first release expected in Dorset.
I think that release has happened this week.
We saw something on the news. The animals, which are known as ecosystem engineers due to their ability to create biodiverse wetlands and reduce flooding, will be returned through managed releases, despite some concerns from farmers.
All interesting stuff. And finally, Lewes District Council has become the first local authority in England to recognise the legal rights of the River Ouse. The council endorsed a charter for the Sussex River, which stipulates that it has a right to biodiversity, to be free from pollution, and to have a say in decisions which affect it. The decision is part of a growing global movement inspired by successes in New Zealand, Canada and Colombia, where rivers are granted their own legal rights.
I come from down in the valley where Mr. when you're young, they bring you up to do like your daddy done. Me and Mary, we met in high school when she was just 17. We'd drive out
The River by Bruce Springsteen, because we're talking about the Lewes District Councilwoman, the first local authority in England to recognise the legal rights of the River Ouse. All exciting stuff. You're, of course, listening to the Life Science Radio Show here on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. We should have our PG on the line. Morning, PG.
Good morning.
Good morning on a very sunny morning for a change.
Yes, glorious today, isn't it?
It is. Could this be spring until it cools down next week?
Hopefully it's a sign that spring's about to sprung or something
like
that.
I'm pretty sure we heard our first chiff-chaff this morning, which is early, definitely, because we record it every year when we first hear it. Because they migrate and then come back.
Certainly heard our Wren and Robin shouting up of late. So
yeah, all good stuff. So what's caught your eye in the science news this week then?
Well, a couple of topics which I guess don't always mix, but electricity and water. And just to be very topical, this came through my letterbox this morning, advised me about what I'm going to pay for the thrill of having my water supply.
Oh!
Yeah, and smilingly explaining to me exactly why I'm going to pay over 30% more for my water and sewage facilities than I was doing last year. And I thought, well, that's wonderful news. So, actually, provide us with a nice graphic saying how we divide up your bill. Here's what every pound of your bill covers. Seven pence in the pound is for the energy needed to clean, supply and take away water. 5p is in taxes and licences. 37p is in running our business. And 11p, they say, is for keeping everything flowing, which is kind of strange because I would have thought that's part of running the business. Yeah, but that's still the 40% of the bill, and that's about investing to improve their services. So that's 23 pence in the pound I'm paying for the funds required and the borrowing and their returns to investors.
Ooh.
So they can deliver the level of service I expect. Oh, that's very good. Oh, hang on a minute. But they're also spending 17 pence investing in Yorkshire.
Are they?
So yeah, that's their infrastructure and the processes to deliver a better service for you and to protect Yorkshire's environment for the future. So 40% of the new billing is for investment, which I thought as a company, a private company, that was their job.
It's an interesting one.
So I thought, well, this is a bit annoying. I wonder what Ofwat have got to say on it. So I had a look at Ofwat quickly, and they ran a consultation in 2024 about producing the bills for this year. And they're saying that they've anchored their return on investment down to just over 4% return, which if you look at this as a basic level requirement, it's a pretty good return on it. And then I had a look, and of all the water companies, I think there's only one that was rated as inadequate, and that's Thames Water. And we were rated, my bills on Yorkshire Water, as standard, which the bulk of the other companies were standard. Very little chance. I think there's only one that's rated as outstanding, which I think is Severn Trent Water. So just sort of looking at this, I was saying, well, hang on. I mean, ages ago, we talked about Maslow, or Maslow, depending on how you read it, and the hierarchy of needs. And this is a physiological basic need. It's at the ground floor level of the things that we need to have a successful, happy life, I guess. So water is one of those commodities. And having a look, part of the thing that they say is that they're actually going to invest in reducing the amount of sewage spills that they create each year. reducing sewage discharges from over 400 storm overflows. Right, okay, so improving bathing waters across Yorkshire. Strengthening and modernising miles of pipes to make sure we continue to have safe and clean water supplies for everyone. Facing the challenges of climate change and population growth in Yorkshire. Ensuring we've got a plan to help us tackle this. I think the main sort of project is a link through to the Kielder Reservoir that's proposed. They started out with a pilot in early 2025, rolling out smart meters to help customers better understand water consumption and help reduce leaks. And they also sort of give you some very good advice. You can skip a load of washing to save. You could also sing in the shower to reduce your shower time to 4 minutes. And they've created a playlist that you can get from them to sing in the bath for 4 minutes and then turn your water off.
That's obviously part of the money they've invested in their own business. They've paid somebody to write this and pick your tunes. And
yeah, it's wonderful. And they're also tapping into the smarter future with switching to water meters. So you find out if you can benefit, and they're giving you a sort of reasonable free pass for the first few years where you can say, no, it didn't work for me, and revert back. But, you know, you can also do a great thing by boiling tea for two. So don't just boil a cup of tea for yourself, make a tea for two.
Brilliant.
Okay, I mean, that's a sort of rough check on the water, but looking at Ofwat's position, it seems it's pathetic. I don't know why they don't just dismantle it.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, because just earlier on I talked about raw sewage was released into Windermere for an average of 17 hours a day for basically most of last year. And that was that was obtained under Freedom of Information law.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's a fundamental sort of change. Is not many places actually sort of take their water supply and basic commodities out of public ownership. Looking at that, but obviously what's happened in the interim, while they've actually been building up massive debts, so a lot of this money is going to service the debt that they've already created, which to me just seems intolerably pathetic. I say it's pretty much a knee-jerk reaction today from receiving that news in the Post that we're going to pay 30% more over the year for water.
Just
and sewage.
Just stop. Just don't wash anymore, Paul. Just don't.
Yeah.
Go in the public lido.
Well, I suppose if I don't wash anymore, I could hum in the bath.
Oh, yeah. No, it's a serious point, because it's basic things we all need, don't we? Food.
Yeah.
Water, well, water, most importantly, food, warmth.
Yeah, I'd say it's the basic level of needs, you know. You can go up through acquiring sort of property and things like that at higher levels, but it's the thing that you need every day. So, to me, it seems we're being asked to reinvest in a company that's already sort of paid out its dividends to the
to
people
not
who
us.
Own it.
Yeah, not us.
Yeah, so anyway, but that was the thing. First part is water. Electricity, I'll tell you why this came to mind, was I popped into a local supermarket And as I was walking away from it, I came past the electric vehicle charging points that were nearby. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. I wonder if I can see what the tariff is on these. I started to look at that, and then I noticed something, which is one of the charges was designated for public vehicles and taxis. But there seemed to be a problem with it, because the charging lead had been sawn off.
Oh, my words.
And then out of four units, two of them had the charging leads sawn off.
Oh, brilliant.
Obviously disappeared. So I started to think, well, hang on, how are we going on with this? You know, we've got the push to 2030 for electric vehicle replacements. I wonder how we're doing for charging points. And it's a very difficult one to sort of get down to. I think from 2022-3, we were about 36,000 to 38,000 charging points, public charging points. And then it's gone up by sort of about 30-odd percent. And at the moment, we're at something in the upper 70s of 70,000 charging points. And looking at those, there's a mixture. So, I mean, they use as a basis, I think, a vehicle which is 60 kilowatt hours rated battery. And for that, they say if you have a home charging point, which you have installed at home, and that will charge in 8 hours your vehicle capacity. Then some of the advice that they've got is, don't let your vehicle drop below 20% charge, but don't charge it above 80% charge regularly, because you'll reduce the life cycle of the batteries.
Mm.
So I thought, well, that's okay. On the home charging thing, they rate it something like 7 pence to 50 pence cost per unit. For varying things, and some of the charging points on street are the things that are coupled up to the local gas lamps, and they tend to be the slow overnight charge. But it tends to be then that you've got to get your car plugged in wherever it is, and as you said, the problem with vandalised charging points could become an issue. And it's very similar to what's happened on the railways. You know, suddenly dawned on nefarious people that there's copper in the signalling wires, so they just chop out great lumps. And for a 20 feet of charging cable for an electric vehicle, I don't know what the rate will be, but obviously it looks like somebody's trying it out. So, sort of looking at where we're going with this, the problem is it's a mixture, and again, you can get help. There's a thing called the Zap, which is
Zap
EV
map.
Charging. Yeah,
yeah, the Zap map
gives you charging statistics, but also gives you an outline. And they're talking about 38,350 locations, but 75,675 devices. 110,000 connectors, and that 1,064 locations were added last month. So when you start to look at how they're messing around with the statistics, you start to say, well, at the end of 2021, according to the Zap Map, they had 53,865, and that's now progressed in 2023 to more than 73,000. And the public network has grown by 32%. But these things are changeable. So 8 kilowatt charging units, which is the overnight charge, look to be the bulk of charging capacity, with over 40,000 of these points being 8 kilowatt rated. Above that, then, you get something which will charge a little bit faster, varying from 8 kilowatt to 50 kilowatts output. and they sort of take the level up to 60,000. But if you want the thing where you drive in and top up your vehicle at a service station en route somewhere, then really you're down 50 to 150 kilowatt chargers, which really amount to probably about 8,000 units. And then above 150 kilowatt, the rapid charge units, just slightly less than that. So sort of looking at that, and you say, well, if I did speak to someone who said that they're going to relatively live in Scotland, and to take a trip to Scotland is a great sort of orienteering sort of test for you to read your map and find out how you get from charging point to charging point to get to Scotland without staying overnight somewhere to charge your vehicle. And the further out that you get, these charging points diminish to very, very low levels.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a great idea, but at the moment the implementation of charging systems and sort of just looking at where they are, so many of these have been private company installations, and I can't see that there's actually much legislation about how much they're allowed to charge.
I think the other thing about the, you can turn up and what happens if they're not working?
Yep,
or the full. I mean, we stopped at a motorway service station the other day, and I was surprised at how many more charging points there are, because what's the chance of you turning up to charge your car and actually it's full?
Yeah, and one of the things that they're talking about now is the problem of people leaving their vehicle on charge parked, which blocks the facility even though they've charged it up.
Yeah, yeah.
So
it's an interesting one, isn't it?
Well, you think, you know, it's the usual thing about people being reasonable, but a lot of people, there's a lot of ignorance about the different charge rates and the charges, I think. And I think that a lot of the things that we're saying, oh, it's going to be cheaper to do things. Well, to be cheaper than running your petrol car seems to be that you have a home overnight charger and you use the facility for things like off-peak hours to charge your vehicle. As soon as you get to something comparable to the sort of nipping into the garage to refill with petrol, you're paying at least what you were paying for petrol, equivalent in terms of the mileage. So some more thinking wants to be done about it, I think, is what it is. Again, the problems with a lot of these things are they have public consultations. Ofwat on the water for the 25 review of pricing apparently had less than 200 replies from a public survey. And that's the basis of them allowing through my 30% increase in charge.
It's interesting.
Yeah, so it's not very good. But there is great news, potentially, from Africa.
Oh, there is. And Ogo's going to be talking about that next. It's an interesting story, isn't it?
It absolutely is. So
brilliant. Ogo can save the world.
Yeah, well, it relates to that guy, Nikola Tesla. I think, and it's an invention that's been made, but maybe it does away with a lot of these EV charging
problems. Well, we'll see what Ogo's got to say. Can Ogo do it? Brilliant stuff, Paul.
Thank you, Paul.
Great stuff. We'll speak to you Monday on Glory Days Rock Show. Bye-bye.
Bye. Cheers.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Theatre Cars there by Gary Newman. What a great track. We played that because RPG was talking about water first, but then electricity and electric charging points. Just tuned in, of course, to the Live Science Radio Show here on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM on digital if you're in South Yorkshire or sheffieldlive.org. We should have Dr. Ogo Osimo on the line. Good morning, Ogo.
Good morning, Julie. How are you?
Very well. I can't believe it's a month since we spoke.
Indeed.
It may be longer. I can't remember. Time passes. Thank you for joining us, Ogo. I know it does indeed.
Having a good time.
I know. We try, don't we? So it's a very interesting chat today, isn't it? It's about...
It is indeed.
The article was titled African Self-Powered Car. So tell us more, Ogo.
Right. It's quite an interesting... Thanks for the opportunity, actually, to speak on this subject. There's a chap in Zimbabwe who has invented a method of generating energy from sound waves. The device is called the Microsonic Energy Device. The idea is that the device enables him to draw energy from microsonic waves, from sound waves.
Wow.
Sound waves are electromagnetic in character. What that means, it's like light energy that we see, if you look at the visual light energy that we see, it contains some amount of electrical power as well as magnetic power.
Wow.
Now, what this guy is saying is that people ignore the micro ohms, i.e. the very small amount of electrical energy associated with sound waves, which is, the ultrasonic, the microsonic, that's where the microsonic, nomenclature comes from. So what he says is managed to devise a way of harnessing that small electrical power and amplifying it to the point where it is possible to use it to generate sufficient electricity to be able to power motorized systems, such as for transportation and so on. And, he's shown in one of his video presentations that he's actually able to, he said it's one of his earlier inventions, where televisions can be viewed, can be powered, unilaterally. Wow. Using his device. Mm. But there are people who think, nah, that's not possible and so forth.
Yeah, particularly some big companies and things like that.
Yes.
But however, the Harare Institute of Technology, who've been following this thing and reviewing it, the professor there, who is a revered professor, actually agrees that the system works.
Interesting.
There are people who have, are journalists who've been spent time with him. In fact, there's a video to that effect. And one of them's statement was that it is a truly free energy device that keeps batteries consistently charged.
Which is magic, Ogo, isn't it?
Yes, and it's magic when the technology is not understood. That's why it's magic. But when people understand the technology, and this is what the scientific community is pressing for, we want a peer-reviewed, you know, assessment of this device. You can imagine that he'll be a little bit reluctant to divulge everything because
coming from
Zimbabwe, he might not have the economic or the political power to resist, you know, any, you know, the device being taken off him without him having the full benefits.
It's a really interesting one because, you know, somebody's come along with something potentially game changing.
That's right.
And, you know, some people are saying this really is doable. And others, particularly, dare I say, the big car companies, are, this is not possible because it's not in their interest, is it? So it's very interesting, isn't it, about what you can read.
That's right.
Who controls what we read on when we Google it or when we try and find out more information?
That's true.
And so this young man is called. Is this, you'll have to pronounce this, Ogo, better than me. Maxwell Chikumbutso, is it?
Maxwell Sangulani Chikumbutso.
You see, you said far better than me. So he's from Zimbabwe.
Yes.
And so he's come up. Have you any idea how he managed to fall? How he managed to work this out?
Right. The excuse me. Let me clear my throat. Yeah. The story that's presented is that he was somebody who dropped out of school because he was unable to fund. His parents were unable to fund his education.
Yeah.
However, it didn't stop him being inquisitive. He used to play around with, you know, parts of broken down electronics and stuff like that. And through messing around with or playing around with those type of stuff, he eventually stumbled into, you know, the what's called the radio wave side of science. Now, he himself says that he didn't even know what the names of some of the components he was messing about with. But he gradually and eventually invented this initial energy generating system. That's the background that was painted. So he's not somebody who went to university and got a first or second degree and so forth. He apparently went to America to try and work with other scientists in the field in America. And apparently some of the competitors who saw what he was trying to do, quote unquote, poisoned him. His colleague, Dr. Ted, you know, actually passed away, you know.
Wow.
So, he then returned back to Zimbabwe where the president hosted him and they supported him through his
studies.
Program of development.
Amazing.
Until, you know, the launch of his device on the 10th of March, I think it was. And and that was after several reviews by the Harare Technology Institute of Technology and a few other, you know, companies outside that, you know, investigated what he was doing.
Yes,
I think the biggest test would be what he's proposing. He's proposing to do a video, a TV program in Egypt, and the intention was to drive from Zimbabwe.
Oh wow!
All the way to Egypt without fueling the car.
Isn't that amazing?
So that would be interesting if that works.
It will be because PG was talking before he came on about, you know, a story about somebody who drives to Scotland with an electric vehicle and trying to work out where to charge that vehicle en route because some areas that haven't gone. This is a potential game changer. So you could see why, well, it's interesting, but there's a lot of things when they first are suggested, people don't believe them.
That is true. I think for me, the reason I got attracted and interested is the point he made about developing a device that enables him to harness the micro ohms, the small energy of microwaves, and being able to amplify that, you know, levels where it is possible to charge batteries.
Yeah.
Up to 15 volts of battery.
Yeah. It's
now, that is quite an achievement, because with 15 volts of battery, you'd be able to travel quite far, especially if you're still drawing, if the device is still drawing energy
all the time. Yeah.
Microwaves. And there's microwaves all the time around us.
Yeah. Well, off air, we were talking about the story about Mercedes and the photovoltaic paint, as I think it
That's
is.
Right. Yeah.
And you think, well, it was a great idea because you coat the car and it just it charges itself from the sun as you drive round, etc., etc. And it almost sounds too good to be true, but actually, things like this can start off with somebody's got an idea and it works on a small scale. But once it's invested in and et cetera, research more, it's not impossible to think that in the future, people will be driving around with cars that don't need any fuel and cars for various reasons, either from radio waves or maybe from paint.
That's correct. I mean, to be honest with you, there are similar devices, similar technologies, in the sense that the paint is the device, that's the Mercedes-Benz proposed paint, is the device that's able to capture electromagnetic energy from the sun rays.
Yeah.
And convert it to electrical energy. It's exactly the same parallel.
Mm,
one is using paint that we know of, because it's based on perovskite or something of the sort, is a material that they found, you know, which perovskite is the material that they found, which is better at receiving, you know, sunlight and converting it into electrical energy, compared to, say, silica, doped silica, is silica with rare earth materials in it. So it's exactly the same parallel. Now, he's saying that he's got a device, the equivalent being paint in terms of sunlight, and instead of sunlight, it's microwave energy. They're both electromagnetic systems.
Yeah.
They both have electrical component and they both have, you know, magnetic component. That's why it's electromagnetic. So it's not... the idea is, it's scientifically, to my mind, correct. But it's whether the technology exists, whether the technology can be fully demonstrated.
Yeah, well,
the science of it, as far as I'm concerned, makes sense. The technology is where people are still questioning, it defies this. It doesn't defy, because all that they're doing is transferring one energy from one form to another form.
Yeah, that nobody's...
In terms of the example you cited with with Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh, you know what?
Exactly.
Why hasn't anybody thought of that before? It almost seems so simple, doesn't it? But yeah, it is.
Yeah, yeah.
But we'll probably not see that. The Mercedes technology that will be coming. That will take probably years to really come through.
Developed.
But it's like everything when you start off. So the next step then is after peer review and more research and I presume somebody to back him like Richard Branson or something like that.
Well, there are companies from America and Saudi Arabia who are interested. They want him to come and demonstrate it to them.
I bet they do, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. They're interested in investing.
It's like it's like Dragon's Den, but on a bigger scale. But
well, yeah.
But but you know,
you remember?
Yeah, go on.
You remember when ITM started the hydrogen stuff?
Oh, I do, I do.
Right, they formed the company.
And ITM Power, yeah.
Yes, they were selling shares at 50 pence then.
Yes.
But I was broke, so I couldn't.
Oh, well. But you know, way back, I'll go, because your background is air quality. You said hydrogen is the way forward.
Yeah. Yep. I was broke. I couldn't invest in their company.
Because how much is it worth now?
ITM Power now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know? So if we have the money, this is the time to go and invest.
But this is why you need, you know, with any technology, don't you? You need somebody who's got the research ability to come up with something, a game changer potentially. But you do need the backing of, you know, investors, universities, etc., for it to take off.
That's right.
It's a fascinating story. So we'll have to see what happens with him.
Indeed, I think the only thing at the back of my mind is whether, you know, how efficient is the device at converting microwave, you know, the energy from microwave to, you know, electrical energy, you know, but it appears, well, that's the only thing at the back of my mind, you know, but in terms of, you know, the theory of it, excuse me, it makes sense.
Yes, it's whether it can be applied
practically
and on a large scale, I guess.
Yeah, so there are two things. One is the science and the other is the technology. Do they have the technology for effecting the science?
Oh, I'll go. Fascinating stuff. Now, when you next come on, I'll go, are you going to find another suitably interesting and revelationary story?
If I come across one, yes, I'll share.
Yeah, but it is. But it's good because it's interesting to know about new things that in the 5, 10, 20 years' time may be game-changing. Brilliant
maybe
stuff.
Things will be changed, but we'll see.
Brilliant stuff. We're going to play out with a track we've found. I don't know where exactly we've got it from, but it's called Turn Up the Radio. Because it's radio waves. Brilliant, Ogo. Thanks for spending your time with us this morning.
Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of your morning or afternoon. Bye-bye, Ogo.
Bye. Have a great weekend. Greetings to you, Paul, and to Graham.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.